country music you grew up with. Real Country, 1430 AM at 107.3 FM, WRDN. Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. For decades and decades, depression and anxiety have presented the United States and other first world countries around the world with a major healthcare crisis. Dr. Neil Nedley spoke with me about this subject about 10 years ago. He's the president of Nedley Health and for 25 years has been successfully treating people battling all forms of depression and anxiety. And we're catching up again today. Dr. Nedley, thanks for being here with me.
Great to be back with you, John.
We're talking about depression and how to successfully treat depression through lifestyle. Why would we talk about this when there are already myriad treatments for depression? Why aren't you saying there's an array of drugs available on the market, grab one and off you go? Why are you not saying that?
Well, because those drugs have been tested and tried and all sorts of studies have been done on them. They can help certain patients, but their help is limited and they actually don't decrease suicide risk and they don't improve functioning that much. Over placebo, one of the drugs improves function by about 6%, but most of them don't improve function. And depression is a disease that disables. It causes a lot of dysfunction. And of course, it's also one of the leading causes of death now, with suicide rates being so high. And so why would we recommend that they take something that isn't going to improve in those parameters? And so it's not that we're against medicine. We have patients come to our program with medication. We'll take them with or without, and we'll keep them on their medicine until they're better and don't need them. But medications alone are not the answer for depression or anxiety.
Okay, it'd be really easy for somebody to say, well, Dr. Nedley has a vested interest or he's got an axe to grind. I want to ask you, do you? And I want to ask you, how much of what you're sharing with me is opinion versus hard science?
It's hard science. Even the top pharmaceutical researchers in the world will tell you that drugs have their limitations and that they're not the answer. Consensus mental health organizations tell us that drugs are not the answer to this problem. Once again, they can help in certain situations, but they're not the answer. We have to go beyond drugs if we're going to eradicate and produce the great results that can be obtained for depressed and anxious people.
In a moment, not right now, in a moment, I'm going to ask you what the answer is. Here's my first question going down that road. Is there an answer for depression and anxiety?
Absolutely, there's an answer.
You said that unequivocally.
Unequivocally, yes. And we've published on it. Our case reports are very well obtained. And the typical patient that we see with depression and anxiety, severe actually, or maybe even extreme, will leave our program in 10 days with no depression and anxiety, and their emotional intelligence will go up. Now, it requires their cooperation. We have to do a number of different things to produce this dramatic change in their brain chemistry and their change in their thought pattern, but it's well worth the effort.
The reason I think it's important we speak about this from a faith-based point of view is that the Bible speaks again and again and again about health, and mental health is supremely important. Look, just to digress for a brief moment, I think it's important we talk about this because too few people speak about mental health. Like it or not, there's still a stigma about mental health where someone who has an ingrown toenail is happy to tell his friend he had surgery, but somebody with a mental health issue will keep it to himself or herself, maybe to their detriment or even their demise.
Exactly.
And another reason we want to talk about this is because looking at it from a biblical point of view, we see that ultimately, this thing between good and evil is a battle for the mind. Mm-hmm. So in one place, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We want that as far as possible. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's define some things here. What's depression? I know you could talk about that ad infinitum, but briefly, what's depression? And help me understand the difference between severe and extreme and these various forms.
Yes. So a major depression is actually a constellation of symptoms. And I use the psychiatric Bible. The Diagnostic Statistical Manual gives us 9 hallmark symptoms of depression. You don't have to have all 9 of them, but you have to have 5 of those 9. But 2 of the classic are deep sadness, which you may not even have and still have depression, and apathy. This is where you wake up in the morning and you're not excited about the day. You get up out of duty, but not because you're interested in the day. And that will happen not just once in a while, but for a depressed person, it'll be there for, you know, at least 2 weeks. In addition to that, there'll be energy issues. There'll be sleep issues, either wanting to sleep all the time or not being able to sleep and waking up too early and not being able to go back to sleep. Then there's more irritability than there used to be. And then focus and concentration issues can also be a major problem, where you're reading something that's interesting to you, you get to the bottom of the page and you forget what was at the top of the page, and you have to go back and read it again, and it might even happen again. And that can be a sign of both anxiety and depression.
Now, you're not saying one of those means you have depression. You're saying there's the 9 points. If you have 5, that qualifies you.
Correct.
So I don't want anyone to think because they can't focus on a page that means too much, but it might.
It might.
Yeah.
It might. Yeah.
Taken together with other things. We're going to get to the cure, if you like, the treatment for depression in a moment. But
sure.
I want to ask you this. See, we've spoken about this before. 10 years ago, we talked about this.
Right.
And society has known for decades we have a great problem in this area. What's happened in the last 10 years in terms of depression and anxiety?
The rates have gone up astronomically in the last 10 years. And, you know, what has also shifted is depression used to be the older you get, the more likely you're going to get it. And now we're seeing this big peak among young people, adolescents, teenagers, even pre-teenagers, and particularly those in their 20s, off the charts in regards to depression and anxiety levels. And that's changed over the last 10 years.
And why is that?
The reason is actually the smartphone usage. It wasn't until about 10 or 11 years ago that about half of Americans owned a smartphone. And now that smartphone is actually able to distract them very easily. And when we are driven to distraction, it actually decreases an area of our frontal lobe that is precisely the area that's needed for managing distressing emotions. And so it's not the smartphone itself per se, but the normal use of the smartphone, where we're allowing ourselves to get distracted by Snapchats, texts, push notifications, and even when we get on there to do something, we forget why we got on there to do something, and we immediately see a text or an email or things like that. And that division of attention actually causes biochemical consequences in the brain. And those biochemical consequences increase the rates of depression and anxiety.
So in recent years, it has become much worse. In recent years, it's affecting far greater numbers of younger people. Okay, we're going to talk about what a person can do about depression and anxiety. My guest is Dr. Neil Nedley, president of Nedley Health. In just a moment, we will talk about what a person can actually do. Dr. Nedley said a moment ago, there is successful treatment for depression and anxiety. We'll find out what that is straight ahead.
With economic instability, interpersonal challenges, and the use of social media on the rise, rates of depression and anxiety have skyrocketed.
Call now for your free copy of Finding Lasting Healing for Depression and Anxiety and learn helpful and practical methods that have been scientifically proven to benefit mental health. Call 800-253-3000. That's 800-253-3000. Or visit us online at iiwoffer.com.
Welcome back to It Is Written. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm John Bradshaw. With me, my guest is Dr. Neil Nedley, the president of Nedley Health. Dr. Nedley, we're about to start talking about successful treatment for depression. Give us a little background here. I said for a quarter of a century now, you've been successfully treating patients.
Correct.
Give me just a very quick overview. What do you see walk in the door? What do you see walk out? Once we help people understand what the reality is of successful treatment, then we'll talk about the treatment.
Okay. So what we see typically walk in the door is someone who is severely depressed and also thinking about ending their life. At least most of them now that see us think that they would be better off dead. And they're actually convinced of that when they come to the program. It's affected their family life. It's affected their work life. It's affected their feelings about themselves. And it has also caused them to even think that they're worthless or that they're of no value. And so that is more of the typical. Of course, there can be a lot of varieties concerning that. But on top of it, they'll also have anxiety. They'll have social anxiety, which is more of our typical patient now. They don't really want to interact with people. Fear of embarrassment. Fear of being exposed in some way, shape, or form. Fear of being judged. And so this is our typical patient that comes in. And of course, they're pretty reticent because they're in a new setting. And this has been, you know, big challenge for them to even come to the program. And on day three, they're not sure that they've actually made the right decision because it takes time for the therapies to actually start changing the brain. By day four, they're actually starting to feel better. By day seven, it's pretty amazing the difference. And by day 10, when they're walking out the door, they say, I don't even really realize who that person was. I'm so different now. They are motivated. They're self-motivated. They're actually sleeping better. They're able to interact with people that they don't know. And not have that anxiety and fear of judgment. They realize that they're a valuable human being, and they realize that they have much that they can give to their families and their work and the world around them. And so depression scale goes from severe on average to no depression when they're leaving. That doesn't mean it's solved. They still have to continue to do the things that made them better in the program, and then they'll even get better yet. 2 weeks after they're in their home environment. Some of them get fearful because they say, I got better here. Now I'm going home where I was really bad and I'm getting back into the same place. But actually, as they utilize the tools that we've given them, they'll actually feel better 2 weeks after being home than the day they left the program.
See, this sounds miraculous, like people are being reborn. But this is what God wants for a person's life. And I think as we talk about depression, it's really important to point out that depression isn't something that the average person can just get over. Why don't you pull yourself together?
Right.
Depression's a monster.
It is.
And it absolutely disables people.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about the successful treatment. What works? And I only want you to share with me what works scientifically.
Sure.
And verifiably.
Okay.
Okay. So what really helps?
It's actually a combination of a number of simple factors we put together.
Simple factors.
Simple factors, okay. Like drinking more water.
We're talking about an absolutely disabling condition.
Right.
Where the people suffering from this.
Yes.
Believe in their hearts that the world would be a better place without them.
Right.
And you're starting with drink more water.
Drink more water.
Okay. I don't want to hear too much more about the treatment. Take 20 or 30 seconds and tell me, why does that kind of simple thing help? What's going on in a life that something like that could even make a difference?
Well, our brain cells work better when they're hydrated. And nothing hydrates like water. All the other water substitutes actually take away from the hydration of our neurons and our ability to have good synaptic activity. Okay. And so studies have shown, actually, if we just take someone from less than 2 glasses of water per day, which the typical person has, to greater than 5 glasses of water a day, their rates of depression and anxiety will actually start to improve within a week of that treatment.
So what else is effective in the treatment of depression and anxiety? Simple things.
Becoming physically fit. Physical fitness is actually better for our brain than it is our body. And cardio exercises actually improve a protein level in our brain called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. It's kind of a brain fertilizer, and it helps the brain get ready for positive changes. So there are some people that are fit that come to our program. Their causes are different, but most people that come are not at the fitness level they should be at. And that's why we have fitness experts, and in 10 days, and they're going to actually show measurable fitness improvement in their cardio and a lot of different parameters, and that will mirror very much their success during the program.
Give me another one, and then something ought to run by you.
So another one is actually light therapy. So we utilize light in the morning. Actually, we have them wake up at the same time every morning, and then they're exposed to a bright light that actually sets their body clock, their circadian rhythm, and it also starts the production of serotonin in the brain. And those two factors are very important. It's going to improve their energy level throughout the day, and it's going to improve their ability to go to sleep at night. In fact, that's one of the best sleep aids, is a light therapy box utilized upon awakening in the morning. So they're only exposed to it for about 30 minutes. Then we get them out and exercise. And those simple treatments of hydration, physical exercise, and light therapy start the process.
You said simple treatments. They are profoundly simple. It seems that what you're doing is actually treating the causes of depression. Not enough activity, not enough water, not enough light. You're actually taking this down to the granular level and treating the very things that cause depression.
Exactly.
That's not how depression is typically treated. It's typically treated, well, we have a range of possible medications. We'll try this one, come back in a week or two or whatever, and maybe we'll change your medication. Mm-hmm. As a society, we're really stuck on medication as though it's the solution for everything. How in the world do we change our thinking?
Well, we have to educate the public that it's not just the lack of medicine that's causing depression. It's actually the lack of good brain biochemistry that has to do with things like nutrition, what we're putting into our body, and what we're doing with our body.
What do some of the medications actually do to the brain?
So how the typical antidepressant works, it's not helping the brain to produce more of a neurotransmitter, nor is it helping the receptors. When we get to the root cause, we're going to actually help the brain produce more of the neurotransmitter, and we're going to be helping at the receptor level so that the synaptic activity goes up. How the drugs work is that they actually plug the reuptake channels in the releasing neuron of the substance they're trying to treat. So if they're wanting to have more serotonin synaptic activity, they plug the serotonin reuptake channels. And that allows more serotonin in the synapse. The problem with it is now we have to make even more serotonin because that serotonin's not being vacuumed back up into the brain. And so it produces a short-term benefit, by short-term, maybe 6 months, 9 months. And after that, now the brain is even shorter in serotonin than it was before you started to use the drug. And now you're needing dosage increases, you're needing additional medicines, you're needing a number of other factors to try to help the neuron of its even more severe depletion of serotonin.
Simple treatments that work. A complex, challenging diagnosis, but simple treatments given by God that make all the difference. More on depression with Dr. Neil Nedley in just a moment. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you could visit us online at itiswritten.com.
Most everybody wants to live a little longer, a little healthier, and a little happier. But the question is, how can you experience that life? Jesus said that He came into the world that we might have life more abundantly. Evidently, it's what God wants us to have. So don't miss Life and Longevity with special guest Dr. David DeRose. We uncover simple secrets of the Bible, attainable secrets, the things that God presents to us that are guaranteed to enhance our lives and at the same time open up our hearts and minds to receive more of the Holy Spirit of God. Life and Longevity, Bible Secrets to Living the Abundant Life that God wants you to have, featuring special guest Dr. David DeRose. Life and Longevity on It Is Written TV.
Thanks for joining me on It Is Written. My guest is Dr. Neil Nedley, who for a quarter of a century has been successfully treating people with depression and anxiety, in many cases, extreme depression and anxiety. You've had a great deal of success with this.
Yes.
We're talking about simple treatments. Mm-hmm. I mean, very simple treatments. Let me ask you this. When it comes to depression, what role does nutrition play? Well, what role does nutrition play in the treatment?
It plays a major role. In fact, it is well documented now that nutritional medicine is one of the best therapies for depression and anxiety, and directed nutritional supplements to actually help the individual with the genetic challenges that they might have as well.
Okay, so what would that look like?
For instance, taking a S-adenosyl methionine to help the person methylate and be able to make more serotonin and dopamine in their brain.
Okay.
If they have a genetic defect, they're going to have certain personality traits that go along with that defect, like a calm exterior and a tense interior, tendencies for obsessions, tendencies for addictions, and actually being highly competitive. Often it's the attorneys or even the sports heroes that suffer from mental health issues, and they just need more methionine or S-adenosyl methionine to help them methylate better. That's a nutritional therapy. That is something that's natural. It's not something you can get in a pharmaceutical agent, because the trademark organization won't allow something natural to be trademarked. It has to be unnatural in order to get it trademarked. And so natural therapies often are superior.
Diet. You mentioned nutrition. What about diet? What am I eating that's helping me or mitigating against good mental health?
Yeah, exactly. So we need to get tryptophan in your diet in order to make serotonin, and we need to get the tryptophan into the brain. So we don't just give IV serotonin, because serotonin won't even be picked up by the brain. The blood-brain barrier prevents it from going across. So we need to get the tryptophan. Even that's too large to get into the brain. So we have to have it with specific carriers. And it turns out the best carriers are foods that have tryptophan and natural carbohydrates in them. And those are going to be more of your plant-based foods. One of the reasons why a plant-based diet has been shown to be superior to other diets, improving depression and anxiety in as little as 2 weeks, once we shift over to a highly antioxidant diet that has adequate tryptophan and tyrosine to make the neurotransmitters we need.
So you can eat certain foods that are going to help you.
Exactly.
Generally speaking, they're more plant-based.
Correct.
Okay. You mentioned genetics a moment ago. I want to ask you about this. Are some people genetically predisposed to depression? Is that the case?
Absolutely.
Well, if so, what do you do about that if it's in your genes?
Well, fortunately, we can shut down those bad genes. And so when people come to our program, we measure their genetics, and we also measure their epigenetics to see if that gene is active or not. And fortunately, it's not medication, but it's natural therapies that can actually deactivate that gene. And then we can actually measure the before and after results. We can see that the gene was very active to start out with. And within a few weeks, we remeasure. One of the reasons why we do follow-up on our patients after they get back is we're actually doing follow-up blood work to show that that gene has been deactivated. Or if it hasn't, there might be some other therapies that we can put into the equation that are simple, side effect free, that'll actually shut down that mutated gene.
Thank God there are simple solutions.
Yes.
Appreciate what you are doing. What I'm hearing as I listen between the lines is you're following a very simple, I don't mean that in a derogatory way, very biblical plan, because God wants us to have a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
Can anyone have that sound mind that God is offering?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The design of our brain is tremendous because of its ability to change itself. It can dramatically improve under the right conditions. And that brain can not only learn new things, it can start making better neurotransmitters, it can have better receptors, it can have much more fulfillment and success. Our brains are capable of amazing things if we just foster them in the right way.
There's one thing I would like you to remember, that's this. The Bible says, thou wilt, speaking about God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You read that in Isaiah 26:3, perfect peace. Mm. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Speaking certainly of an attitude, an approach, a humility, but definitely speaking about a mind. When we look, Dr. Nedley, at Earth's last great crisis, it's a battle for the mind.
Absolutely.
Mark of the beast, the seal of God, affixed to the minds of those who receive them. I think there are good days ahead. There's reason for every last person to be hopeful.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you sharing that hope. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
With economic instability, interpersonal challenges, and the use of social media on the rise, rates of depression and anxiety have skyrocketed.
Call now for your free copy of Finding Lasting Healing for Depression and Anxiety and learn helpful and practical methods that have been scientifically proven to benefit mental health. Call 800-253-3000. That's 800-253-3000. Or visit us online at iiwoffer.com.
Let's pray together now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Anxiety and depression are not your plan for our lives. We find no fault with people who find themselves there. Instead, our hearts beat in harmony and in sympathy with them, asking that you, Lord, the great physician, would deliver everyone looking for deliverance, would strengthen everyone looking for strength, that you would encourage and uphold every last person and deliver to each one a sound mind, a transformed life, a new experience. We thank you for salvation in Jesus. And we thank you that through Jesus, we might have joy on this earth. We thank you. And our hope is strong in the return of Jesus. We pray with John, who wrote Revelation, even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durand Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, You can contact me with my number 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Thanks for their sponsorship, as their grandson Caden is one of our confirmands. This is our list of confirmands. We had one confirmand out at Rock Creek today, and we have five here, and so we are excited to celebrate with them. You'll also notice that there are some roses on the altar today. The kids identified people in their circle of faith who are no longer with us, their communion of saints, that they wanted to remember today by memorializing them with a rose on the altar. So that is in memory of those saints, and their names are printed on your bulletin handout if you want to know who those are for. Today begins a month of celebrating. Every Sunday in May, we're celebrating something. So today's confirmation. Next week, we're celebrating our graduates, those seniors graduating from high school. So we hope that the seniors will join us. We'll give you a gift and a special blessing as you move on to the next phase of your life. And then on the 19th, we have two special things happening. We're praying for good weather, because anyone who would like to bike to worship that day, or scooter, or hoverboard, or rollerblade, or whatever wheeled thing you like doing, can meet me at Caddy at 10 o'clock in the parking lot. We're going to be biking to church that day, and then we will have a special bike blessing as we begin our summer months of fun together, and we'll give you something special to hang on your favorite wheeled vehicle that you have. So join me for that. That's for all ages, not just kids. We had a great turnout last year for the first time we did it. And then that day, we'll also be thanking and recognizing our faithful Sunday school teachers who have been teaching here for a long time. We'll be thanking them on the 19th. Sunday school ended last week, but we want to make sure that we take time to recognize them. A reminder that you can help be part of our fundraiser coming up on Fun Fest weekend. We serve all of the chicken that's served down in the park during Fun Fest, but we need to buy all of the food. And so one way you can contribute is by taking an envelope off of the back window and filling it with the dollar amount that's listed on there and dropping it in the offering plate. That will help defer our costs on the front end so that we can have more profit from the fundraiser. And then, of course, we invite you during Fun Fest weekend, June, what is it, 8, 9, I don't remember how the dates fall, whatever the, was I close? 8th and 9th. And invite you to come down to Memorial Park and eat chicken and support us in that way as well. We have one clipboard to send around today. We have a pretty empty month of May in terms of people signed up to help with worship leadership for ushering and communion set up and things like that. So we'll send it around, and if you know that you'll be here in the next couple of weeks, we invite you to sign up to help in that way. Our 8th through 12th graders are preparing for a mission trip this summer, just a couple months to go before 11 of us head to Benton Harbor, Michigan for a week of serving alongside that community. And so we just lift that up today as a reminder that we're thankful for your generosity and the fundraising we've been doing, and ask for your continued prayers as we prepare our hearts and minds for that trip. Our registration for Community Vacation Bible School is live online now. It's our fourth annual time of doing Community VBS together with area churches. We've added two more churches this year, so that's exciting. Last summer, we had 120 kids spend the week together and 30 volunteers. So if you would like to be part of that, if you're pre-K through fifth grade, you can be a student. If you're older than that, you can sign up to help, and we need plenty of help. So information about that is on our Facebook page, it's in your newsletter, and it's all online registration. Are there any other announcements this morning? Yes, Linda.
I do have the sign-up sheet for the chicken stand. Oh,
okay.
For the days of the event.
Okay, great.
So it's just going to be here in church. It's just going to pull you back there. So
okay.
In the next few weeks, so if you want to get a prime spot of helping out,
that's right. Okay, and I think correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's a free meal involved for everyone that helps, right? Okay, so if you can actually help in real time at FunFest weekend, then we would invite you to sign up to do that as well. Any other announcements? Dawson was one of our confirmation students last year, and since then has fully stepped into the promises he made to continue to be part of the communion of saints here at Faith, and so he is our worship assistant today. I know why that's not working. I unplugged it the other day for music rehearsal. It needs to go in the bottom, question mark, or does the top work? Is it working? Okay. So Dawson is going to be the worship assistant today, and so he will lead us in our opening litany as Maria pours water into the font to remind us all of our baptisms.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Look, here is the water.
Here is our water of life. Alleluia.
Immersed in the promises of baptism, let us give thanks for what God has done for us. We give thanks, O God, for in the beginning your voice thundered over the deep, and water became the essence of life. Adam and Eve beheld Eden's burning rivers. The ark carried over your creation through the flood into the new day. Miriam led the dancing as people through the sea into the freedom land. Look, here is the water.
Here is the water of life. Alleluia.
At the river, your beloved son was baptized by the John and anointed with the Holy Spirit by the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection. You opened the floodgates of your reconciling love, freeing us to live as Easter people. Look, here is the water.
Here is the water of life. Alleluia.
We rejoice with glad hearts, giving all honor and praise to you, through the risen Christ, our source of living water, and the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Look, here is the water.
Here is our water of life. Alleluia. I invite the congregation to stand as you're able and embody your spirit as we sing together our opening hymn, Canticle of the Turning.
Cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great, and my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fixed your sight on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed. Could the world be about to turn? Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Though I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. The nations rage from age to age. We remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's crushing grasp. This saving word that our forebears heard is a promise which holds us bound. Till the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn.
The grace of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of promises, you meet us in the sacramental life, at the font and at the table. We are your chosen holy people who continuously celebrate and declare your mercy, which we experience through Jesus Christ. As we gather to worship you, we are washed and fed by your love in Jesus' name. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and I'd like to invite children of all ages to come forward for a special children's message. You're going to help me gift some things to our confirmands. So they're going to stay in the front row. The rest of us will gather right in here. So come on up. Please don't be shy. Come on up. Hey, Julia, come on. Everyone's welcome. I promise I won't make you say anything or sing or anything. I'm going to gather. I'm going to move our stool over here where our confirmands are. Oh, look, we've got five of you and five confirmands. That's perfect. Okay, so today is a very special day. These young people right behind you, right, you look at them, they're our confirmands. It means that they've gone through confirmation classes. They've asked their faith questions. They've explored what God's up to in their life. They've asked questions about Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They've learned about the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, all of these things that we do together as the people of God. And now today, they're ready to remember their baptisms when they were brought as babies to the font and baptized so that they can enter more fully into life in Christ and continue to live in their faith. So we're going to together remind them of their baptisms. I don't know if they know their parents did this, but we have photos from each of their baptisms. And I love working with the confirmation students and getting to know them and joining them on their journey. So I took a little time to choose a Bible verse for each of them and to reflect on my time being their pastor. So we're going to start with Miss Addison here. And the verse that she has, she kind of chose for herself and told me it was one of her favorites, Psalm 46, verse 5, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. And so it has been my joy to be Addie's prayer partner the last few years, as well as her pastor. As she continues to find her way in the world and wonder at where God is leading her, she is learning to trust God will not let her fall. Let us give thanks for Addison's unfolding faith formation and her growing confidence in God's love for her. I invite the congregation to say the last line together. Thanks be to God for Addison. Next, we have Kaden. Your mom had a hard time finding a baptism photo, but she promised you were about this age when you were baptized. As a faith-lived student, first of all, the verse I chose for you is from Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. As a faith-lived student, Kaden was a quiet but steady presence. While he rarely spoke a word, he clearly absorbed all that was being taught since he was the runaway winner of all the review games that we played on the last day. I was so surprised. You listened, Kaden. You knew it was happening. And so let us give thanks for Kaden's whispered wisdom and his gentle spirit. God is surely at work in his heart. Thanks be to God for Kaden. Caitlin, I chose a verse that probably won't surprise you given how much you love music from Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. sing to the Lord all the earth. Caitlin lives life through song. She delights in singing from her heart using the beautiful voice that God has given her. Her commitment to growing in faith was evident as she participated wholeheartedly in Faith Lift this year. And may her life song continue to be written by God's faithfulness. Let us give thanks for Caitlin making music and sharing her faith life with us. Thanks be to God for Caitlin. Elise, I chose for you Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. The Spirit led Elise to Faith Lift here at Faith through her friends. She quickly made the experience her own, asked curious questions, serving gladly and seeking to find God active in her life. Elise's kind heart is learning to trust the Lord more and more with each passing day. So let us give thanks that Elise's path has led her to this faith community. Thanks be to God for Elise. And finally, Maria Grace, I've known you for a while. Ephesians 2:8 is a verse that we chose for you, Dad and I did, at your baptism. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. And so for as long as I've known Maria, she has been the most enthusiastic gift receiver. I mean, seriously, this kid gets so excited, so much joy, so much anticipation when opening gifts. And it has been my joy as both her pastor and her mom to watch her slowly open the gift of faith since her baptism day. She delights in both learning and leading as God guides her. Let us give thanks for Maria's grace-filled presence among us. Thanks be to God for Maria. And so all of you, we have two gifts for our confirmands, and I'm going to ask you to help me hand them out. I wonder first, though, who brought you to church today? Who'd you come to worship with today? You came with Dad, right? Yeah, who'd you come with? Your mom? Who brought you?
My whole family.
Your whole family's here? How about you?
My whole family.
Your whole family? What about you, Julia? Who did you ride with? Your mom and Dad? And your brother and your brothers, right? And we have all these people. We get baptized, and then we have people that make promises for us, and they follow through. They bring us to worship. They teach us about God. They give us a Bible so we can read stories about God's love for us. And then we get to the point of our confirmation day, and one of the things I ask our confirmands to do is I give them 16 pieces of paper, and I say, write down the name of 16 people that have been active in your life, in your faith, that has gotten you to this point. And then I ask them, I'm going to see if they did their homework. I ask them to reach out to those people to tell them that they were one of their 16, because we plant these seeds of faith, and sometimes it's really great to know that they've actually grown. So if you haven't done it yet, you'll still be confirmed, but make sure that you you follow through. So then I take those and I fold them and I turn them into these stars. Caitlin helped me fold them this year, so thank you. As a little reminder of the circle, the cloud of witnesses that has raised you to this point and continues to pray for you as you continue to grow in faith. So you can give this to Addie. We also have the gift of a Bible for each of our confirmation students. I'll have Dawson hand those out. Addie's is the second one. And in here, I put a little slip of paper with the Bible verse I chose for you. So if you want to make a habit of highlighting in your Bible, that would be a good place to start. Caden, let's see, could you give this to Caden? And we'll find his Bible here. I think it's that one. There you go. Want to give this one to Caitlin? Right there. Want to do Maria or Elise? So as we prepare to celebrate these young people today as they affirm their baptisms, I want you to remember your baptisms as well. And to think about those people that are helping to raise you in the faith and take a minute to thank God for them, okay? Thank you for coming up this morning. You can go back to your seats and we'll continue with our centering song. Thank you, Dawson. Our confirmands helped to choose all of the music for today, and this was one of Addie's requests, the song All in All, so I found a video I think you'll like. Stand as you're able in body or spirit as we welcome the word. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the
Today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on a basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies of a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and accepted and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many and are one body in Christ, and individually who we are members of one another, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prosperity and the proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate and cheerful. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Let fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affection. Preserve in prayer. Contribute to the needs of saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone with anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Dear friends and family in Christ, we gather together today to worship God and to celebrate a milestone in the faith life of our confirmands. As babies, each of these young people were brought to a baptismal font. They were washed by God's grace, showered with God's love, and people who loved them made promises to raise them in the faith. So as they grew in years, those who loved them brought them to God's house for worship in Christ-centered community. They placed in their hands the Holy Scriptures. They taught them the creeds and the prayers of our shared faith. And now these young people are ready to affirm the promises once made on their behalf, to claim them as their own convictions of life lived by faith. So this sermon is especially for the front row over there. So listen up, okay? I chose that scripture especially for you. I'm preaching to you today, okay? Confirmands, when you come forward to the altar soon to affirm your baptism, you will be given a certificate to memorialize this sacred occasion. And you might think it looks like a diploma. You might feel like you graduated from church, but you'll notice that it doesn't read anything like a diploma. A diploma marks a graduation, a moving away from one experience to the next. But confirmation and the certificate you receive, on the other hand, is not a moving away from, but rather a moving toward this community, deeper into faith, into your life of faith here among us. And the words on your confirmation certificate read this: "In the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome this child of God to greater participation in the mission of this congregation and the whole church." Greater participation. Your confirmation day is an invitation to become more involved, more dedicated to your life of faith, so that you might keep growing alongside all of these people who will continue to pray for you and bear witness to what God is doing in your life. And to the rest of the gathered people here today, remember that anytime we confirm young people, it's a chance for the rest of us to either anticipate our own confirmation one day, which might still be coming, or for most of us to remember our confirmation days years ago. All of us receive the same invitation to live into the fullness of our faith communities as confirmed people of God. So then what does it mean to live into the promises of our baptisms, especially once we claim those promises as our own? The Apostle Paul, in the reading that we heard Dawson read from Romans, says this: do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God. Confirmants, have you ever bumped up against being invited to conform to